That's how I feel. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. You say, well, we worshiped God. Well, we're going to worship Him some more. Hallelujah. I worship You and praise You and thank You. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be Your holy name forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship You. I worship You, Jesus. I thank You and praise You. I worship You over all of Cherokee County. Hallelujah. I thank You for Tahlequah. I thank You for the people in it, the unlovely and the lovely. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I worship You and thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Right there where You said, just receive that anointing. Hallelujah. Spirit of God is here to do some things tonight. Hallelujah. I want to hear what He has to say. I'm interested. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I worship You. Praise You and thank You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. How many really want revival in this area? We've talked about it a little bit, but how many knows what it is? I mean, you got to know what you're wanting. You know, there's a difference between a move of God and revival. Revival, you know, all we've got to go by are two things. The old days and Jesus. You know, in the old days, a real revival like the Welch Revival and some others, you know, it swept through the land. All things were affected. You know, bars closed up. And now you could substitute casinos and bars, but then bars closed up. The lame walked. Limbs were untwisted, made whole. Transformation of souls. You see, some people think, well, an evangelist, you know, he leads people to God, and he does, or she does, he does. But it's more than that. An evangelist, they have miracles following them. Healings and miracles, it's all encompassed in an evangelist. In fact, any call that you can see in the Word of God is justified by the Holy Spirit. And that's how the evangelist is justified. That's why I know some of you won't like to hear this, but really and truly, Billy Graham is not an evangelist. He's an exhorter of those to Christ. He exhorts you and leads you to Christ. But you won't see, or you didn't see, a lot of miracles and healings following his ministry. I'm not saying there wasn't healings on the side. But an evangelist, you know, the miracles and signs and wonders all followed because it was a sign to the unbeliever to come to Christ. Run to Christ. Don't hesitate. Run. So, anyhow, you know, when we have a revival, everybody's going to know it. We may be the ones to pray it in. We may be the only ones. But the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. So everyone will be affected. So I don't think that's fair. I prayed it in. They get the benefit. The good thing about that is that God in heaven is watching. So you'll get your due there. Besides here. Hallelujah. So, do you really want revival? Do you really want revival? Yes, you do. I do too. Even if it means revealing some things we don't want revealed. Even if the fire of God reveals some things and people cry out. I'm going to say some things tonight. And as normal, as usual, some are going to like those things and some are not. And you got to understand, when I preach or teach here, or Shelley teaches here, it's not contained here. I will probably say some things that I get feedback, not just from here, but from out there, because others are listening sooner or later to the messages. I might even get a little persecution like in the past. That's okay. I want to say what He wants me to say. So I want you just to bear with me a little bit tonight. And I may move a little bit slower. I'm feeling a little bit slower. I'm feeling on the inside this word listen keeps popping up. It's for me. It's for me. You too, but for me, it's to listen. And, you know, like I said, the messages aren't contained here in this church. Others all over the world are hearing them. Not a week goes by that I don't get an email from someone in another country. And usually, they're all about the same. I listen to your website. I listen to the messages on your website. I've been listening and studying them. And would you come and bring that message where we're at, whether it's Africa or a lot from Pakistan. And I, you know, just not a week goes by. And, you know, of course, my normal answer is we can't come until He lets us come. But until then, you have the website that you can apply the messages and listen. We prefer that you not just listen, but that you apply the messages. And so the messages are not contained to right here. And I used to have a nickname. It's called the Butcher. Yes, it was. I picked up that name in Western Kansas somewhere along the way. I think in 97, or when did I first go there? 97, because I was used to taking old sacred cows and traditions and chopping them up and grinding them up into hamburgers. So that's why, you know, sometimes these messages may seem a little tough, but hey, you didn't need that sacred cow anyhow. You know, if God thought you didn't need it, then you didn't need it. So, don't be too much tromped on if it feels that way. One time I was preaching in Wichita, Kansas, and oh, I was so excited because I'd been doing these meetings on my own and everywhere. And this pastor, I don't even know how it happened, but he had a church of about 1,000 people up in Wichita. And was a charismatic church, and he somehow got a hold of me through someone or something, and we went up there and saw all kinds of things. And when I was up there, the Lord, you know how you're preaching along and He just gets you off on something, you know, and you start hammering it, you know. And it was about intercessors and some of the things that were going on, you know, in intercession, you know, like getting in airplanes and going high as you could and say that you were praying from on high. You know, stuff like that, barking like a dog, crowing like a chicken, stuff like that. And so I was addressing this stuff, and it was really, you know, some were laughing and some were not. And I noticed after the service, and the pastor invited us out to eat, but I noticed his wife came along and she was very rude. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, she was very rude. She wasn't happy at all. Come to find out, she was his head intercessor for the church. And I guess I tromped on too many toes or something. But needless to say, I ain't been back. But that's the way it goes. You know, I'm not here to please man necessarily. I'd like for you to go away happy. I'd like for you to go away riding high, you know, and ready to conquer the world. That's what I'd like to happen. But sometimes that just don't happen, you know. But, you know, I could tell other stories like that, but that one came to mind because, you know, once again, I was up there after those sacred cows that some of them had. They just didn't stand, you know, so. But I want revival. And in fact, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want to be in a church that doesn't want revival. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me how many people are here. I want a room full. I want it to be overflowing out to the street. But if it isn't, I'm still going after the same thing, and that's revival of this area. You know, like I've told you in the past, I could have went to church here anywhere in town at any point in time over the past 12 years. You know, in fact, I did one or two of them, but they all, you know, it was always some program or something like that. And I've had pastors to call me up, and I can think of one or two right off. I can think of Earl Chiddick's out at Elkhart, Kansas. You know, he called me up the first time he ever called me. He said, I heard about your ministry and what goes on, and I want you to come to our church and show us how to get that on our church. And I said, I'll tell you this, Pastor. I said, right now, before we ever go any farther, I don't have any use for programs. I don't teach any programs. And if you're looking for a special program, whether it be to win souls or whatever, I said, you're looking at the wrong man. You need to call somebody else. No, I don't want a program. I want what you've got, and I want the people to have what you got. And I said, well, I said, if you're sure about that, we'll do some meetings and see if you still feel that way. Well, he's still with us. Still with us. 6 years. And so, you know, and I'll be honest with you, he lost part of his congregation, and I think it was from some of the teachings. You know, I think some of the people in his congregation was looking for a program, and mainly looking for somebody to do it for him. And it just wasn't it, so he lost some of them, so he's not as big now as he was then. But I don't have any use to be anywhere except to try to bring a place into position for revival, or at least head it that direction. And so I believe that I don't believe that, you know, you can, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I like a good dinner. I especially like coming together for fellowship and having a good dinner, because I like good food too. And I like a program occasionally. No problem. But you're never going to get revival that way. It's not going to come that way. If you think that it's going to come that way, you're only fooling yourselves. It's not going to happen. It's not that way in history. It wasn't that way with Jesus. Jesus fed the multitude. Yes, I know that. I heard that. Jesus fed the multitude after He was up there and ministered to them and preached to them. So I'm not saying you shouldn't feed the multitude. What I'm saying is, to get revival is going to take a special person. Evan Roberts of the Welsh Revival worked all day in the coal mines and came home and prayed into all hours of the night and the next day. You know, and we think if we pray an hour or two, you know, we've done pretty good. You know, instead of thinking of a good program, what a church ought to do is take about a half a day or so, half a day or a full day, whichever, once a month, down here praying in the church in other tongues. We need to shortcut our distance to revival. And the quicker we find that out and the quicker we apply that, the quicker we'll get to that point. We can take the long way, or we can take the medium way, or we can take the short way. But it's still going to require the same thing. That's why Pastor was preaching on you praying in other tongues, and the Lord put me in this position to uphold him in that same area of praying in other tongues, is because that's his desire, is to take this place, this church, to another place in him. And sometimes it takes reinforcements, you know, and so maybe we need to think about, instead of programs, and I'm not just talking, like I said, this message doesn't stay right here. Maybe we need to think about, those of you listening to me out there, wherever you're at, maybe we need to think about, instead of programs, maybe we need to think about more prayer. Maybe we need to think about that thing that is covered in Isaiah, in Matthew 4, and Isaiah 58. Maybe we need to think about doing some of that. You don't have to look it up. It's fasting. Maybe we need to think about that, because Jesus, He called prayer and fasting as the way for the devil to come out. Maybe the devil needs to let go. And in a few, maybe he needs to come out. Of course, if you're a Christian, you're not possessed. But you might have him, you know, directing your actions a little bit. You wouldn't be the first one. You know, like I said, I may not hear the last of this tonight. I know of a church back in the early 90s. And the pastor got everybody to praying in other tongues a lot. They spent all of Friday nights, periods of time, all of Friday nights praying in other tongues. They spent different other times, other areas of time. I'm trying to choose my words carefully. You know, I'm trying my best not to offend people, but they took other periods of time and they prayed in other tongues, all came together and prayed in other tongues all day on Saturdays. And they would take periods of time where several of them would be doing 40-day fast. It was nothing unusual for several of them at one time to be doing 40-day fast and others doing every other day fast. I didn't say fasting one meal. That's a diet. I said fasting a full day. And then off the next day and fasting another day. And there was periods of time this was going on and things began to happen. The crowds got bigger. The reason the crowds got bigger is because word spread around in the area where they were at that devils were coming out and screaming in church members, and people were getting healed, and miracles were happening, and people were getting set free, drug addicts, homosexuals. So this went on for several years, and I was in a different area, pastoring, and word began to get back to me. I began to get reports. If I told you who was giving me reports, you'd probably know who it was, so I won't say who it was. But I began to get these reports back to me that some were saying that you didn't have to fast. You could do a juice fast, which is okay. There's a place for that. You could do a vegetable fast. Yes, I know it's in the Bible. But they started out the fasting part was started out based on Isaiah 58 and Matthew 4. So when you start going with a different fast in the Bible, it's for something different. Different directions, different fast for different things. And so I began to get these things fed back to me. And, you know, I ignored the things that were told to me. And you know how you can hear things, you know, through the church and stuff. And so I just ignored it. And then began to get it more, and I thought, well, I'll just make a visit. Sure enough, they were right. And now that church of 500 is down to probably about 40 people. Not a whole lot happening. You know, and certainly not am I doing okay, Shelley? Certainly not the prayer going on. Certainly not the fasting going on that was going on before. So we can make a decision to do the things necessary to have changes within the church body and the direction of the church, or we can maintain the same old. You know, I don't think you're here to maintain the same old. I'm certainly not. I've made it clear where I stood. I'm not here for that. But you have to do things in order to get results. You can't just do nothing in the Spirit and get results. And it has to be done in the Spirit. You're not going to get there with programs and things like that and nice projections, wonderful choreography. You're not going to get there with that. It's not going to get you what you want. Now, I'm going by, you all said you wanted a revival. So I'm not, that's what I'm going by. Want to make sure I'm still in the same place. How many believes that revival is God's perfect will? And we want God's perfect will, don't we? I mean, we want nothing less than His perfect will. Well, you know, it shows us in the Bible how to get His perfect will. And if His will is that Tahlequah is in revival, that it's a born-again city, that Cherokee County is all born again, that the hospitals and the nursing homes are empty because miracles were performed, workings of miracles were performed, and healings, and all these things. You know, and I don't know about you, but I believe in creative miracles. And I believe that God is still working in that area. And it's going to take some of that. It's going to take some of that. Can't just say, well, you know, he done a miracle. It's going to take some creative work to be done to get some of these people back where they're supposed to be. And I believe that we can have it. But that's His perfect will. Well, if you go to Romans chapter 12 and you really take a look at it close, in fact, you really to get the fullness out of it, you'd have to start in Romans chapter 8. But starting in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And we've went over this before, but I'm going to remind you again that giving your body, giving your life as an acceptable sacrifice means that you're laying your body out there, and through the Spirit, you're putting your flesh to death. Well, that don't make sense. Well, spiritually it does make sense. He wants your flesh to be under, because as long as your flesh is in control, as long as your flesh is in control, you're not going to have revival. It's not conducive to revival. Yes, we have to put up with these bodies, but we don't need them controlling us. We don't need them telling us when we should fast and when we shouldn't. If you listen to your stomach, it will not tell you to fast. Or mine doesn't. I'm just going by me. You know, I'm just going by me. It doesn't tell you to fast. And it will certainly be the first one to say quit. I don't know how many times, you know, I've been on a long fast. And, you know, and you think it's going to get easier. And I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't get easier. And the second one isn't any easier than the first one. Now, I will say this, that I get along with a longer fast better than I get along with those that fast one day and off a day and one day and off a day. I started out that way long, long time ago, but I get by easier with a longer fast, because once I've started, I'm used to it and I'm not looking for food quite as much. But you know, it just don't get any easier, so it's not conducive to revival. You know, and he gave us a couple of ways to put the flesh in its place, which is dead to sin. And that is through praying in other tongues, through the Spirit of God, and through fasting. So, well, show me about fasting. Well, we're not here for that tonight, but I will. As soon as I get the chance, after January 1st, I'll show you. I'm trying to give you the holiday off. Gave you Thanksgiving. What more do you want? But But through fasting and praying in other tongues, you can put the flesh in its place where it's supposed to be rightfully. Not where it thinks it's supposed to be, but where it's really supposed to be. And so, he says, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And reasonable service meaning, it's reasonable. You can do it. It's doable. It's doable. It's not impossible. I don't know whether I can do that fasting or not. One step at a time. One step at a time. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, what have we been doing? We've been renewing your minds. You've been renewing your minds. You know, it was this morning, Judy asked Judy, or Judy and Judy were talking. Have you been confessing? Yes, I've been confessing. Renewing their minds. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be like the rest of them out there that's conformed to this world. You're not going to hear this message every day. I've listened. Even on TV, you don't hear it. I don't listen to Christian TV too much, but the last time I checked, they wasn't talking about fasting too much, you know. One time I went to a church in Kansas City, and this pastor wanted to take me there, and I knew something was up, but I didn't know what he was up to. But he wanted to take me. I was at his church, and we were doing a week-long deal on fasting. And so he wanted me to go with him to this church in Kansas City. He was in Sedalia. He wanted me to go to Kansas City. So I went to Kansas City with him, met with this other pastor over there, and you know, he just kept, you know, making small talk. And then the pastor of the church in Kansas City said, we're fasting. We've started a fasting program here. Right up there on the wall. See that up on the wall? We have a set time each hour of the day for each person to fast. Well, you know, it was his church. I didn't say anything. I could have. I knew the other pastor knew what was going to happen. So that's why he brought me there, so I could hear that. So we got back out the car, and the pastor from Sedalia said, can you believe that? Because I already had him talked into fasting. He was already on his 40-day fast. And there he was talking about fasting 1 hour out of the day for each person. Well, I don't know if it counts, but I fast Christian TV. I don't know if that counts or not. I mean, I used to be a big Benny Hinn fan, and I'm fasting. I love Benny Hinn. I love to see those miracles that happens. I may not agree totally with the doctrine, but I love to hear or see those miracles. But anyhow, you know, it's going to take a price. And so you don't want to be conformed to this world what the others are doing. I mean, look, if those programs and things haven't brought revival to this land, what makes you think you can do them here and it'll bring revival? See, it's going to take something more. And like I said, you won't hear a message like this anywhere else too much that I know of within a 40-mile radius. I'm trying to be real careful tonight, because I've gotten feedback before on some of my messages from places I didn't want to get the feedback. But we withstood. Am I doing okay, Shelley? I'm not talking about time-wise. I'm talking about
total-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, am I staying contained? Yeah. I told her, I said, you just be praying that I'll stay contained tonight. Because I had another message and I didn't get to preach it, so I'll preach it another time. But anyhow, you won't find this much anywhere else. That I'm serious about that. And it's because people haven't come to that place that they want to pay the price. It takes people that want to pay the price and make that decision. Some try to make that decision and still end up not wanting to pay the price. But that's what you have to do, because nobody wants to come to a church building and spend all day Saturdays praying in other tongues. No, your flesh doesn't want to do that. You got to be hungry. You got to be hungry for the things of God and what God does to do things like that. Nobody wants to take off on a 10-day fast. Nobody's flesh wants to do that. And really, endurance is the key to all of it, including the confession. I mean, some of you have seen how tired your mouth gets. You think, I like standing up here. How about this? We're just touching on it. In Tulsa, we spent two hours each of the nights confessing. And I led the whole 2 hours. You know, there was once or twice I'd call Shelley up and say, take my place so I can have a break. But for the most part, it was a straight 2 hours. Well, you know, it takes endurance on all of it. Endurance is the key. Regardless what route you go or what you apply in the things of God. See, endurance is the key. Praying in other tongues. An hour is a good place to start. But endurance is still the key. Endurance is still the key. But the rewards are great. The power, I'm walking in all the power that I can walk in at this moment in time. But to get to this place in this moment of time has taken some things that required endurance. And it wasn't an hour a day of prayer. And it was a combination of things. Prayer, fasting, worship, confession, all of it brought about what happens in some of the meetings and overseas. And I want it to happen here. You know, we ain't seen nothing yet. We haven't seen nothing yet. But we're going to. We're going to. But endurance is the key. I'm tired of confessing. It's okay. Confess some more. Well, I can't pray in other tongues unless I'm all excited or emotional. Fine. I got a wet rag. We'll slap you with it. You can get emotional. Just as long as you pray in other tongues. I don't care how you do it. Just do it. See. And so he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good. I hope we're walking in the good will of God right now. Are we, Pastor? Okay. The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Are we walking in the perfect will of God? I don't think so. If we were, the place would be full, overflowing, and the town would be crowded around trying to find out what was going on and where all that fire coming from the roof was about. Like in the old days. So So I don't think we're perfect. I hope I'm walking in the good. I hope I'm walking toward acceptable. I know I ain't perfect. If I was walking in the perfect will of God, Alice wouldn't be where she's at right now. Say, well, how can you make that decision? Because if I was walking in the perfect will of God and walking in the power and anointing in the perfect will of God for the office that I walk in, I wouldn't let her stay in that position. It says working of miracles. I would have to ask God, can I go ahead and work this miracle right now? Yeah, I know He's behind it. I understand that. But I'm the one that has the gift, supposedly, and the anointing. And yes, I know that each believer has some little bit to do with it. You've got to believe, but what about those in some of Benny Hinn's meetings that don't even believe? What about those in Catherine Kuhlman's meetings that didn't believe? Yet they received something. And then they believed. Because of what they saw. See. Anyhow, so he says here to put ourselves in a place of death, that where we're walking for heaven, not for the flesh, not toward the flesh, but toward heaven, offering our bodies a living sacrifice. And then he said, don't be conformed to this world. Whatever you do, don't be conformed to what everybody else thinks is right. Be conformed and renewed by the Word of God. That you may prove. He didn't say that you may know. He said that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And what did we say perfect will of God was? Revival for this area. Amen. Revival for this area. You say, well, what about the whole United States? Well, you've got to start somewhere. How about in ourselves? Begins here. Begins in this area. Well, you know, God will do it in His time. No. No, He already provided revival for Cherokee County 2,000 years ago at the cross. He provided it. We're trying to get into a place of receiving what He provided. Hallelujah. It's all on us. It's not on Him. It's all on us. We get to make the decision. Is it worth it? We get to make that decision. Hallelujah. Turn with me. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jude. I want to go over something right quick. How are we on time, Shelley? Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's start in about verse 10. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now, Cain was in works, Abel was in obedience. We don't want to go the way of Cain. We want to go the way of relationship and obedience. We don't want to be in this thing for profit. You know, too many people out there, too many pastors out there, too many churches are trying to have a program or have this or that to fill the seats. In fact, some of them, in these private meetings, one-on-one, they'll say, if I can just get 10 more people and they can tithe so much, then I'll have this much and this much will be added to the coffers. That's the wrong attitude. Yes, I know a church. I'm not stupid. I know a church needs money to operate on. You all know I know that. But you don't have that as the ultimate, as the thing that you're after. I want to see the church full too, but you don't do whatever it takes just to have profit in the church. That's not what it's for. You know, the money in this church that comes into this church should be used for this church. And it should be increased, and God will increase it. We will receive that increase. But we want revival. And we want it through the Spirit of God. Because we're not going to get it any other way. But by the Spirit. The walk of the Spirit, the walk of power, is going to bring you revival in this place. And you can't have ulterior motives. That's where fasting and prayer comes in, because it gets rid of the ulterior motives. You know, and some in the past have prayed and prayed themselves into a place of receiving more from God, whether it be finances, people, usually both. They've prayed themselves into a place of receiving that just to be taken out by the love of money or a woman or power or all three. But if you apply prayer and fasting and meditating the Word of God and confession, all these keys in the Word of God, if you apply them to your life, you're going to root out those things in your life that are hidden there that keeps you from revival. That's what I was talking about, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to come out that way. It can come out in the privacy of your prayer closet. It'd be better to take care of it in the privacy of your prayer closet than in a prayer line when the devil's screaming. That's embarrassing, I guess. I took care of it in the prayer closet. But I've been in some meetings that price was paid, and I could see why. I mean, anytime you're in a meeting and the power of God is so thick you can cut it with a knife, and you're starting to wonder if you aren't the one that has the devil and you need to go up and get delivered, you realize why these people that have these things hidden in their life all of a sudden have to cough them up. And things get mighty uncomfortable. But that's what God wants. So, well, He needs to clean house. Well, He will. All we got to do is pray and fast, confess the Word of God, He'll clean house. And everybody will be free and ready to receive that revival that He has for Bethesda and Cherokee County. Hallelujah. So anyhow, then he went on in verse 12 and he said, these are spots. Now he's talking about what we just read about woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. He said, these spots in your love feast, while they feast with you, without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, meaning they go over, they look good. Oh, what a good cloud. We're going to get a downpour. And they don't have nothing. So these people are feasting with you. their clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Pulled up by the roots and planted back in, still not producing any fruit. These are the people that have crept in on your love feast and are starting to water down the early church. Now, I looked it up and I couldn't tell for sure. This was written, I think, Pastor, around 80 A.D. And so, by then already, the church, the early church, was being watered down. And so, I was glad to hear what Pastor said about the history of the church this morning, that he was going to be teaching on that, because I'd love to hear it. Because right here is a start where the early church started going the wrong direction and then all this other stuff crept in. And there's no new thing. The devil doesn't have any new thing. And there's not any new thing in the churches. You know? I've only been saved since 1985. But I see one flash in the pan after the other. I see someone who has the anointing and the power on their life and really is getting in there with God with their relationship, but they're old news to a body. We want the new news. We want the new news. We forget you, you're the old news. We don't care if you have the power and anointing on your life. We don't care what gifts God has put on your life. We want the new thing. Give us the new thing, the one with gold dust. You didn't swallow that? Neither did I. But it just happens over and over and over. Cycles around. You know why? Because not many people are spending time in prayer and fasting and all the other keys to make sure that it doesn't happen and to keep it straight. So, anyhow, these are spots in your love feast. They're clouds without water, carried about the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. And I could go on, raging waves of the sea, foaming up in their own shame, wandering stars, for whom is reserved blackness of darkness forever. There'll come a day. I'd rather take the Word of God, spend time in confession, prayer and fasting and all the keys, I'd rather take time and judge myself right now. I prefer judgment right now. It starts with me. It starts with the Word of God. I'll take the judgment right now from the Word of God. I don't need the judgment later. Moving right along. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, that they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. Money, women, power, and all three of the above together. These are sensual persons, persons that are ruled by the senses, ruled by their souls, ruled by their flesh. Sensual persons, ruled by their senses. I don't want to go to church tonight. It's too cold. Now that's a minor thing, but that's a minor example, small example. That's a person ruled by their senses. They're not going to go to hell because they didn't show up tonight. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's an example of being ruled by your senses. And we all fight it. You know, I know the pastor probably didn't want to show up tonight till Judy told him he was the pastor and reminded him that, you know, and it didn't give him any choice. These are essential persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I'll go and read it. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, you know, we need some way to keep ourselves in the love of God. You have to be in the love of God to love the unlovely. I'm not going to go any farther on that part. I'm doing good, Shelley. I promise. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. All of this, praying in other tongues. See, you want to be in a place, you say, I want revival. Yes, yes, brother, I want revival. But if you can't love the unlovely, you cannot have revival. You have to be in a place. You have to take the keys in the Word of God and begin to apply them in your life in order to love the unlovely. Because if not, your flesh will decide for you. Your soul will decide for you. And you'll not make the effort to love those and those that need pulled out of the fire. See, the revival begins with us. It doesn't begin with the church across town. It begins with us. It starts here. You say, well, I don't know if I want to be responsible. You don't have any choice. You chose this message. You might as well stick with it. Because if you don't and you leave it, the devil will hunt you down and make your life miserable anyhow. That's what we tell people all the time. We've told one or two in this church that. You quit now, the devil's still going to bother you. You ain't going to have any choice. You already heard too much. You're already accountable. You stand to your feet. I don't have a lot in the way of ministry. I'm just going to